Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast. And today's guest is Joseph St. Germain, PhD, president and partner of Downs and St. Germain Research, one of the Tourism Academy sponsors and a guest that I am happy to have here on the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen, thanks for having me. It is my pleasure to be here.
So tell me this. What one or two words would you use to describe yourself?
Analytical. And this would be a phrase, but it's something that we just touched on a little bit ago, but lifelong learner. I've always been a logical, analytical thinker. Like, I can't draw or do anything creative or anything like that. But if it's logic and reason and numbers, it just works. And that's great. And the lifelong learner, I went to school for a long time and I had the student loans to prove it. But I have a phrase that I kind of use with friends and family and the team. It's like, if you're not learning and moving ahead, you're falling behind. And I also just like to understand things, you know, whether it's tourism research or fantasy football or anything in between. There's so much to learn about the world. And if you're going to live in it, you might as well learn more about it and understand it.
How did you get your start in tourism?
I worked with Philip Downs, who's my business partner, but also mentor, as a market research. And as we worked in a variety of areas, we picked up some tourism clients, and then we just continued to pick up more tourism clients. And, you know, it was something I realized. One, you can apply something that you're good at to tourism, but also tourism is something that I love. I mean, I'm from a small town, and therefore I want to see the world to help me better understand the world. And this is a way to, you know, work in this field is something that really drives me. And because it's one of the things I've taken away from just traveling as much as I can and seeing the world is like so much of the problems of the world can be understanding just by having a conversation with someone with a different culture and things of that nature. And I just think that's important. And it's always nice to work on something that's important to you.
What's your earliest travel memory?
My earliest travel memory was my parents took me and my brother to Disney World when I was 5 or 6 from Minnesota. I don't know how you could have handled me as a 6-year-old. My brother's a 4-year-old traveling all the way from Minnesota to Florida, but we did it. That was one of my first ones. And then as life has continued and getting to see the world a little bit more in different cultures, it's just kind of, I mean, I was the nerdy kid who's Epcot. Epcot was my favorite place because it was the science stuff and you get to experience, it's a taste, but tastes of different parts in the world. That was my earliest memory and it's kind of continued as we go.
What destination is on your bucket list?
It's right now it's Italy. The good news is that trip is booked. So that is coming up in September. And then I have to get a redo on Japan. Japan was going to be for my 40th birthday for the Olympics in 2020. And we all know how that went.
What's been the most surprising thing that you've learned since working with tourism organizations?
There's a lot of nuts and bolts of the business part, but it's really what a difference you make in this field. And, you know, one of the things about going to a lot of tourism destinations for work is you get to see people and families on vacation. And sometimes you get a little bit jealous because you're there for work and you just see them having their breakfast or they're hanging out by the pool and you see that true connection that they're kind of having that they really can't get on a day that they may not be able to get on a day-to-day basis. And you can hear it like when we do focus groups and you hear like a parent, like I go to destination X or destination Y, and it's the first time I can have a conversation with my with my kids without a screen in front of them, or, you know, something distracting their attention. And when you realize in some small way, we're helping people and families make those connections, that's the good stuff.
So you have a degree in educational psychology. For those, I find a lot of what we do here is teaching folks about the benefits of educational psychology, organizational psychology, adult learning. How would you describe educational psychology to somebody who just doesn't know what it is?
It was educational psychology is what it says on the diploma, but it also was specific to sport psychology. But also, you know, so either way, what I learned there has helped me. I can apply it to life and how I can be just a better person, more efficient, more just, you know, get the most out of what I can with what I got. And then it's just understanding the dynamics of the world and just understand, like, it's, there's so many things and it's a trope almost, but like you learn something in school and then you get in the real world and it's like someone just says, just kidding, that's not really how it worked. And trying to understand those organizations and like the humanity of it all. Like we think of, like, they have the phrase, like, it's just business and there's something to that. But in order to make it work, you have to have some real organizational psychological connections with people in order to make this, the whole machine, work together.
How is what you do now, leading a research organization, like the work that you've done as a professor?
I think you're always teaching in some way, shape, or form. I as a professor, you know, like that's what we're here for. Hey, there are people here paying to listen to me, and we're trying to teach some specific material. But ultimately, I think it's one of the things as we look at our work when we're trying to give someone a report or something like that, like, yes, you have the report and here's your data and all that good stuff. But I think the most important part, and something I try to try to remind myself every day and instill it with the team, is, you know, we want our clients to understand this. And to understand this, it isn't just, hey, here's your data, here's your 36% and your 72%. It's like, okay, what does it mean? And then how did we get there? And if we can understand how we all get there, it does two things. Number one, everyone gets more out of the report, so therefore they can go do something. But then they can do it when you're not there. And isn't that what teaching is? Teaching is, here's some information to do, to work with when I'm not here. And that's kind of our goal with our work, with our research.
Yeah, in many ways, a teacher's job is to make themselves irrelevant, because you want to teach people how to learn, not necessarily what something is. And that's a challenge. That can be a challenge. What have you found to be one of the best tools in helping adults learn and helping business professionals in tourism learn?
Sometimes it's just taking the time to understand it. Like, we're so deadline driven, not just our clients, everyone, I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of most people I deal with, you're dealing with 90 other people who want something tomorrow. And when we can kind of just take that time to slow down and understand, like, listen, if we can take 15, 20 minutes right now, we're going to save you hours down the road. And it doesn't help you right now, but it helps you so much more. And also, I've always just thought, like, the person who truly understands a concept can explain it to somebody. And that's not easy, but it's trying to understand what language they speak in, you know, in terms of, like, you know, Steven, I may talk with you, and if you're a data person, it might be charts and graphs. And some people are like, whoa, I was told there would be no math. All right, let's put it in narrative form and let's talk through it, or use analogies or metaphors. I mean, I remember teaching some of my college classmates who, you know, who are adults, but in grad school, about statistics. And it was like, we used English Premier League soccer to explain the basics of statistics. And it took that, we took it away from math, where he was like, I can't do math. You're like, okay, but you can do soccer. So let's talk about soccer. So it's finding that language and making sure we're speaking the same one so everyone understands it.
One of our mottos is to provide education when, where, and how people learn best. You know, and the online form gives us that when and where. It's the how that most folks stumble on. And, you know, you're right. There are multiple learning styles. And you have to be able to tap into that and to understand that and present to each of those, especially when you have a group of diverse students or diverse audience like you have in tourism. If you weren't working in research and in the tourism sector, what would you be doing?
It would still probably be something. It may not be research directly, but it's going to be around data. I have a phrase like there's numbers and there's data. I can create a number and whatever, but data is something that we can use and make better decisions because of it. And that is just a life thing for me. I mean, my friends joke, I have a spreadsheet for everything, but it helps you because it helps me distill, like if I'm buying a car or whatever it is, it helps me distill some data points so I can understand it. And it's a way that works for me. So it would definitely be in something data or strategic planning or something like, I think of what we do is we're trying to help provide data to make better decisions. And that's generally kind of my goal in life is like, hey, give me some information to help me make a better decision. So no matter what it'd be around that. Cause I think, especially in a world where there's now like a million data points, now we're getting, there's a little bit of noise with all the data. It takes a little bit of extra time to truly understand how you can use it. And I think one of my strengths is taking something very complex or there's 1,000 numbers, distilling it down to what are the 4 things we need to know here and where to go from here. And I think there's a lot of areas to do that. So if I wasn't doing this, I would be doing something like that.
What are a couple things that most destinations can do using data that they might not be doing?
I think number one is understanding, it's like, hey, take all these reports you get, because almost every destination now with dashboards and their research and their analytics is, I think step one is taking a really assessment of what you use most often. Like, what are the things that you pick up to say, I'm using this to talk to a commissioner or talk to the media or what have you? And I would start there and say, hey, what do I understand? Or you're like, how do I use this? And is there something tangential to this that can help me understand this a little bit better? But it's prioritizing the things that you use most often and making sure you understand them in and out. But then just realize like, I'm using this most often for a reason. So what is that reason? And then as you try to add more to that kind of core of data, you can kind of add to it, those data points that you're using on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, you're using it for a reason. So start with that, because there's just way too much data these days to try to take it all in. Cause I mean, heck, even if I'm looking at some things, there's 1,000 data points here. What matters and what doesn't? What signal? What's noise? I think if you just start with what you're using on a day-to-day basis and then kind of add to that is one of the best ways to proceed.
What are 2 or 3 of the most important data points that you found destinations have in common?
I mean, we're going to start with the economic impact just because, not necessarily because that's the most important thing, but it's always a part of the conversation. You know, sometimes it's talking to your elected officials so they understand like the value of tourism. Sometimes it's stating it another way so a resident understands that, hey, not only is tourism helping you on a day-to-day basis, also your favorite restaurant is partially open because those tourists are keeping it open and things of that nature. That's always going to be there. I think you know, the questions we get are trying to put these data points together and understanding how you know, the hotel occupancy relates to resident sentiment. I mean, you know, as busyness goes up in your tourism destination, resident sentiment, it doesn't necessarily go down, but you start having a more vocal minority talking about it, getting that kind of thing. So it's, and it's also just, I think that community sentiment is becoming more and more of a part of the conversation. I mean, we just hear it more and more, you know, even, you know, are we calling it destination marketing organizations, or is it destination management organization, or is it eight other different topics? Because it's grown beyond the number of visitors and the economic impacts, because there's so many important key performance indicators beyond what it may have been in the past.
We've seen, and there are a couple notable examples, like Vancouver Island, you know, transition from being a traditional destination marketing organization to now their scope of work is things for the community that also visitors find valuable, but community first and foremost. And I think that's a major shift in the industry that came out of COVID. And it's, I don't think it's a bad one.
No, I would agree, because also on part of all that, that there's a symbiotic relationship in that, especially in some of the things that we're seeing and hearing in tourism trends, how your visitor wants to have a more authentic trip. It wants to have more live like a local and really kind of experience the culture, especially the younger generations. That's a more important part of the trip. And in order for that to be a part of the trip, you have to have the community on board. And you know, it's like they need to be willing to have those conversations with someone from LA or Boston or where, you know, wherever their visitors are coming from. If they're not on board, they're just going to scoff and move on with their life. And that hinders the tourism experience. And so, yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. It's becoming more and more and more a symbiotic relationship. And if there's a way you can find things that help the tourists and the community, and sometimes by focusing on the community, just with the tourists in mind, you can kind of do both of those things.
When was the last time you allowed yourself to get lost in a place that you were visiting and just explore as if you were local?
This would be pre-pandemic now, because that's something I remember. One of your podcasts, I think it was with Barbara from Paradise, you had a similar question, and I remember listening to that. I'm like, I don't really do that. I mean, not that I don't really do that, but especially when you're on a work trip, it's very like bang bang bang, we're doing this thing. But that was one of the things about, and this was years ago, my wife and I went to Sweden and Norway, and that's my cultural heritage. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. I mean, I'm very Minnesotan. You probably that comes through very often. Sometimes with my accent, it comes through. But I just remember walking around there, and it was the first time in a long time. Like, we didn't have an itinerary. It was, we're going to be in Stockholm on this day, but okay. And that is such a wonderful way to live and learn and have random but meaningful interactions. And that one I just remember specifically because it was so, as I saw Sweden and Norway, I was like, oh yeah, my ancestors are definitely from here, and my friends' ancestors were from here, because you had these similar conversations that were a world apart, but there's behaviors that I saw on a day-to-day basis. And it was just such a fun way to kind of just immerse yourself and, you know, I mean, just see and live something. So that's been a minute, but that was my last one that I can recall.
What is the most valuable lesson you've learned from your mentors?
I mean, Philip Downs, as in Downs and St. Germain Research, it was Curran Downs Research when I came along. And frankly, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have stuck in. And I mean, what I've learned from him, part of it is some of the things that I've said, you know, like, it's great that you've learned all this stuff in school, but let me explain the difference between book smarts and street smarts and the importance of, I'm getting to a point here, but I, you know, in a research and analytical world, from the objective perspective, someone wonders, like, why do relationships matter in this world? And it's so vital, in especially in the tourism industry. It's like, if you can't, the importance of developing those relationships and developing that trust, even if it's from having a beer or having a dinner or what have you, just to kind of connect with someone on an interpersonal level, it helps so much when you get to the work side. Without those things, it becomes a very transactional relationship. And, you know, there are some that are like that, but you can really make progress in terms of educating, understanding, just by taking that extra time to be humans together in a world that it is work, 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 business, business, business a lot. You can actually facilitate that by just kind of developing those relationships. And then I think the other thing for him is, you know, just understand, be responsive. And I mean, just getting back to everyone quickly, even if it's sometimes to say, Stephen, I appreciate your email. I'm traveling the next couple of days. Is all right if I get back to you this by Friday? But doing that right away, the importance of that communication, as we've gotten more and more online, if you will. And I think those little things are more important, or even just like the little touch of sending a thank you note. It's like you forget sometimes how those little touches do, you know, it takes what, a few minutes to send those? I mean, but it's, there's so much that can help so much in relationship just by doing some of those little things.
What is something you do to start each day on a positive note?
The gym helps me, but I skipped it this morning, so that'd be cheating to say that. Number one, I do a couple things. One, I check a couple data or information sources just to see what's going on in the world to make sure I'm not going to wake up and not understand what's happening around the planet. I just like to get a sense of it. But I also like to learn. I also try to learn something new about something that I love each morning. And, you know, it depends on, you know, I'm a big sports person. So sometimes it's reading the blurb from the Western Conference playoff game that started at 10:30. And, well, I wasn't going to stay. Staying up from 10 to midnight is going to be difficult for me. And so, but doing something, I want to learn something, and I want to do something that I just am, something that I like. Like, let's get this started off on a good note. Because I like what I do, but also some of, you know, it still works. So it's like, let's do something positive to kind of get this thing started and let's get us going in the right direction.
Is there something you haven't said to the people on your team that you want them to know?
Being a Gen Xer, it's probably one of my things is, they probably should be told they're doing a great job more of the time. I mean, it's that's one of the things in general. I think is important. Because, you know, frankly, anything that we do, I may be the one giving the presentation, but it's getting done because of them. As Steven, I won't repeat a lot of things I say to them, and not that it's, yeah. But no, it's, but I mean, I guess part of it is because I try to distill my philosophy about how to, like, some of the things that I mentioned, like, listen, if you're not getting better, you're falling behind. We're chasing perfection under the understanding that we'll never be perfect. But if that's our goal, we can achieve excellence. I even use some of my sports psych background about controlling what you can control and not worrying about what you can't and things of that nature. Even though we're a largely remote team now, I try to distill most of that to them, because to some of the themes of this conversation, my goal is to make them better. My goal is to make them better than me. In a lot of ways, a lot of them already are. But there's things from an experiential thing that I can teach them. And if we can teach them more, I think that's great, because I think that's part of this lifelong learning is, you know, to if you're learning all the time, you should be willing to kind of disperse that information to someone as well.
I think that's a pretty good note for us to wrap up on. Do you have any parting thoughts? Anything I didn't ask? that you wish I did?
You know what the crazy thing is? The question I prepared for this saying, what is the, because I knew that was question, and it was like, did he ask anything about my team? And it was like, well, he just did. So I mean, for me, I just think we live in a world that is, you're getting barraged with, I say data a lot, you could say information, whatever it is, there's 100 just throwing it at you. It's becoming harder and harder to understand that, especially, you know, in the phrase that I abhor, but we live in a post-truth world. Like it's something, it's just getting good information is getting harder and harder because there's a lot of things out there that says like, I hear your information, I don't like what it says, therefore I'm going to disregard it. It's becoming harder and harder to distill what's truth and what's not, which makes all of our jobs harder because we're trying to live, you know, you're trying to do the best with what you got. But it's becoming harder to do that. And I just hope in some ways I can help my team, clients understand that this world a little bit better.
And lastly, is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Yeah, what do you like most about what you do? It's one of my favorite questions to ask people because it helps me understand their job and the person a little bit better. So what do you like most about what you currently do? Because I love what you're doing at the Tourism Academy. I love the goal. But at the same time, what do you love most about your day-to-day?
I learn every day. I am surrounded by people who are much smarter than I am. I'm immersed in conversations with people who are in places that I've never been, who deal with struggles that I haven't had to deal with. And I learn from all of them. And I am, you know, we jokingly say I'm the nerd whisperer on my team because I take all of this information in from everywhere. And the way that I think, I connect dots, you know, things that you may not see are related, but there is a parallel. There is something there, and you know, I like being able to do that, and to be able to do something that allows you to continue to grow, that can give back in some way, that allows you to be a better person. I think those are all valuable, and it all comes back to learning for me.
I mean, I agree. Even though we do different things, I think at our core, what you just said is kind of similar to how I approach things. I love that answer, and I'm glad you found something that allows you to do that because I think you're right. I mean, I think it's just a great way to approach life and connecting those dots and helping the world. I love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and your experience with me. I understand you probably have some fantasy football or golf or something else that is weighing heavy on your mind.
Well, yeah, we got the PGA Championship starting today after the frost delay. So when I'm not sending reports to clients, we'll have that on the second screen. So I really do appreciate the time. It was truly my pleasure and it was great to have this conversation. I just love making more connections. This was great.
Wonderful. Have a great day. Thanks again.
You too. Take care.